I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, we're taking a look forward into some of the positive activity AHDB has planned. No better person to tell us that story and how the multi-million pound campaigns will work than Rebecca Meir. She leads on AHDB's marketing activity. Hi Rebecca, thanks for joining us. Perhaps we should start with a quick roundup of some of the successes which were achieved by you and your team last year.
Hi John, thank you. And I'm very honoured to be the first of this year's podcasts. We had a really, really strong year last year in terms of delivery of the campaign work that we do. And I think those larger campaigns have been seen by quite a few of the people in the industry out there because of the significance of them. On the dairy side, we managed to look at reducing the reducers of dairy and focusing on the real positives around taste, enjoyment, and just that desire kind of to create a brand for dairy. And as a result of that, we actually won an international award for recognition of the very different approach that we took to that campaign and delivered a 14% decrease in those young parents planning to reduce their dairy consumption and changing it to the positive. On the meat side, we had large-scale campaigns on both the pork, beef and lamb areas. One of the particular highlights is a social media influencer, Spencer Matthews, apparently incredibly popular among the youth. I had to Google him, show him my age, but we had over 5 million views for those recipe videos he did for us. But there was a lot of work on the smaller stuff that I think that people don't necessarily see. So if you look across all of our sectors, we tend to combine those smaller campaigns to really get some impact. So for example, watercress is an area that we're looking at increasing trial and consideration, and we linked that with the Love Land campaign, which is really, really important for our lamb producers to get their teeth into and get really involved with, and our independent butchers. And as a result, that actually got on things like Asda shelf edges, online advertising, press, and got a real spread of coverage to show that kind of sectorial balanced plate approach, which we at HDB can really promote.
And you're talking about the fact that people may not have seen all of the activity. And just to be clear, for those people that are listening to this, we're not targeting farmers and growers, we're targeting the public, aren't we? So, and whether we're using social media or poster campaigns or ad shells, whatever it is.
We are, yeah, and it's always a really difficult bit of my job actually, because I myself am from kind of a farming village, and I often in the local pub getting asked what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis because they haven't seen anything.
But no admission there about you being in the pub every day.
It's not during the day, obviously, on an evening after a hard day. But it is really important that actually we've really stepped up our ability to target people. So we've done an amazing piece of research that actually segments the people that we need to target for each of our different products. And from doing that, we can make our campaigns work and our media spend work harder. So I always say, for example, on the dairy side, if someone that's really, really a heavy user of dairy is seeing my adverts, then I'm wasting my media money, because they're not the people we're talking to. We're not talking to the complete rejecters. We're not talking to the people that are completely in love. We're talking to that middle ground, those waverers that still love the taste of dairy but are questioning their choices, or have just changed their consumption levels or the way that they eat, for example, less sandwiches or less cereal or less milk and tea, and kind of talking to them about reminding them of that love. So we have to be really specific in what we do with the big campaigns and even with the smaller work we do, because a lot of this is in the background. We do a lot of social media work, a lot of digital work, a lot of pulling together on international pieces of work where we can learn from other countries. And all of that is kind of behind the scenes. A bit like, what is it, the swan going down, the legs going really fast.
Okay, so let's just look forward then. So 2019 and the end of what's left of the financial year, I think what you're saying to us is that's a big tick. You're happy with what was achieved. Tell us a little bit about looking forward for 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, now I'm really excited about 2020, 2021, because the one thing that we do at the end of every campaign is we are all about return on investment. So we make sure that we are getting the results we need to be getting for the money that we make. And we always make sure then that our planning going forward is based on those learnings and those results. And we've really taken those learnings into this year. So I'm really looking forward to 2020, 2021, which is really difficult to say, actually, those numbers together. But the reason why is because we always have a stop check at the end of the work that we do. And we have a very strict investment test to make sure we're getting return on the money that we put in. So we know our results are strong, but we also learn and make things stronger and readjust. Some of my highlights that I'm looking forward to, the pork campaign goes live in January of 2020. And that I've seen the adverts that are coming out of that. They're really interesting and kind of really hit the nail on the head. We have the Department of Dairy-Related Scrumptious Affairs going live in February. And the one thing that always gets me about that one is the farmer engagement. The fact that we can get free advertising on massive hay bales across major motorways, on railways, people giving out kind of reusable cups and engaging. That kind of engagement of our farming base is huge to me. But some of the other areas that I'm really interested in are actually the launch of the Food Advisory Board, which took place in November and will really kickstart into this year. That's a really unique way of approaching where we do understand that while we need to present large-scale campaigns on taste, enjoyment and positivity, we know there's a reputational issue. We know we're getting battered on that. We also know 71% of consumers agree that farmers are still the most trusted people in the food chain, but that sometimes we can feel a little bit attacked. So when it comes to reputation management, we're increasing our presence this year and we've got a great deal of work going on. The Food Advisory Board being one of our major kind of pushes in that direction. What it is a group of GPs, nutritionists, professors, both very heavyweight academics and those with a social media presence who are very erudite and interested in the target market. And they come together as complete independents. They are unbiased by us, but they want to promote this balanced plate. They recognise that fad diets of any sort are hugely increasing and actually starting to really affect in some ways the eating patterns and the mental health of our younger audience. They can really damage people's approach and relationship with food, and actually having that balanced diet approach is a far more positive thing. So they are there to horizon scan for potential issues in the press and to promote positive messages around all our sectors, meat.
And help people make informed decisions.
Help people make informed decisions rather than being kind of swayed by people without that kind of understanding of what nutrition means. And to do that, they look at all our sectors, about horticulture, cereals, dairy, red meat, and about how those combine together to be balanced and how basically everything kind of that you put on your plate has its value.
Yeah.
And can be put in a certain way to be positive to the diet.
Yeah.
Whereas cutting out one food group or eating in a disordered way can actually cause more harm than good.
So from a marketing point of view, you're talking about the fact that AHDB is always looking to get maximum value for the levy payer's spend. Am I right in thinking that quite a lot of the creative work is done in-house at AHDB, and a lot of the campaign work is thought through by AHDB people rather than using agencies and other organisations?
Yes, you would be right. We've made a great move into actually we have our own social media team, video team. We've actually got from the Food Advisory Board, which I'm really excited, coming out in January, a really, really active piece of social media content around the balanced diet. Won't give too much away now because it's going to be a really strong piece of social media and something that everybody will get behind to talk about in a positive way. But that has been created in-house. I mean, this is a really strong piece of videography that you would expect to come from one of the larger agencies, but actually has been designed, thought through and filmed in-house and has come from international connections in terms of the inspiration. So it shows how all those different moving parts come together into something that we want every stakeholder to get behind. We want our levy payers sharing it. We want our stakeholders sharing it. We kind of want people that we have special relationships sharing with, like the Food Advisory Board, like the BNF. Everyone getting together to show this groundswell of support for a piece of content created in-house, incredibly cost-efficient, but hugely impactful.
Now, you've praised the work of dairy farmers and how they get involved with the dairy campaign. but we also want other farmers and growers to get involved right across the piece. Is that right?
Yeah, we absolutely do. I think that, to be honest, the lamb farmers and the beef farmers have shown us their huge ability to do so on things like Love Lamb Week and Great British Beef Week. But what we'd really love to do is get kind of, oh well, and on watercress as well, actually. We work hugely closely with the Watercress Association, who share and work with us to provide content, and it gives us so much more value for what we do. And actually, the one thing I need to remember, and all my team always do remember, is that while we are out there being connected to kind of this wavering audience, this quiet audience, we need to fully understand what our farmers are going through. We need to fully understand that process of farm to fork to be able to tell those stories. So yes, I want to see more of that this year. And I think that if you have a look at the work that we're doing this year, we've put together a really, really good pack of information that can be used during the month of January and beyond about having positive conversations around meat and dairy. And part of the reason for doing that is to draw into one central place all the work that is going on, all the different assets that are there to be able to share for our levy payers to be able to use them and provide present a united front, because I think that's important.
And how can people access that information then?
They can access it via the AHDB site, they can contact their KE officer, and they can follow us on social media, which I would absolutely kind of encourage people to do, because I think the one thing we need to remember is that we are the brand of farming, and we should be very proud, and we should work together to do so. And this kind of pack enables us to do that.
But you're keen to emphasise that it's about positive conversations, positive engagement, as opposed to arguments.
Yes, absolutely. That's always the burning issue, isn't it? Are we getting dragged into arguments by people who are anti everything that we do? And the answer is that sometimes I would have to be a little bit critical and say yes. Because what I've learned, particularly around social media, we've become heavily involved in managing kind of the Twitter and social media debate. We've learned that, first of all, 89% of this conversation goes on Twitter. Twitter is the place you go to have a great big barney. It's not the nice happy place of Instagram and Facebook, where a little bit goes on. No, it's Twitter. And those algorithms with Twitter are like a drug, sorry to use the word, but they are. They're there to draw you in. The social media feeds you things that you are interested in. So what happens is we only see what we're interested in. And we get fed that negativity day by day. And it can have a massively negative impact, because you start to see this huge, huge attack on kind of our livelihood and the work that we do, when in reality, that's actually very, very small. It's a very, very noisy minority, but it seems massive. And what happens then is we are drawn into negatively engaging. We are drawn into arguments.
And I was once told that more than perhaps two or three exchanges on Twitter, rather than being a conversation, is actually an argument. Is that a view that you've got?
I would totally share that sentiment, yeah. Because I think that what we wouldn't say is that you have to ignore it. What we would say is that you can listen and think about what your positive story is. This is the best way to engage. Don't talk to the person that is attacking you. Talk to the people that are listening, because those people that are listening, but the quiet majority, are the ones that still absolutely love our products. 98% of the population. I mean, Kantar tells us that 0.6% of the population are vegan. And do you know what? That is a perfectly valid dietary choice. It absolutely is. But what isn't is the argument that comes out of it. And you'll find that most people, either vegan or not vegan, don't want to be involved in that barney. So state your point, use the resources that are there, tell your own story, keep positively engaged. But if you're getting drawn into something after you've made an absolute, you know, kind of case or a pertinent point, then step away and do something else. Because what isn't a good look is all of us going against each other. It looks bad for every single side, and we don't need to.
Now, there's a tremendous opportunity, isn't there, for farmers and growers in this country to get a little bit more of a slice of the cake, if you like, presented by Brexit. I mean, we shouldn't ignore the fact that at the end of January, the politicians tell us that Brexit will be done. And if that's the case, one of the opportunities is displacing imports and serving more food to the home market. do the marketing campaigns take account of that? Because earlier in this interview, you talked about exports and the fact that that's an important market for us. How do we square those two things? What the opportunity for export and serving home markets?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And we have teams that deal with both of those areas. In terms of the home market, that's a really interesting point, actually, because what we'll find is most of the reduction that we see is actually due to changing lifestyles and can be due to kind of displacement of local produce. So we work closely with using the Red Tractor Mark to get people actively looking for British produce. And we, within our campaigns, always make sure that we are looking at products that can be produced here and included here. Now, that's not to say on some of our campaigns, we obviously work with partners, hugely important stakeholders, who do have a kind of a more European presence. And actually, we need to make sure what we're doing is twofold. Firstly, lifting desire as a whole for the products that we create. So if the pie gets bigger as a whole and everybody's looking at that frequency of consumption, then everybody wins, import or export. And then the layer on top of that is to get people understanding British agriculture, keeping them trusting us, as we've seen from the research, and keeping them looking out for that Red Tractor Mark.
Rebecca, it's really interesting to talk to you. Thank you very much for sharing your story. If you've got any questions about this podcast or any ideas about future editions, please get in touch. You can get in touch with AHDB via the website, ahdb.org.uk. And as Rebecca was saying, you can download information there, or you can get in touch with AHDB and request anything that you're after that you can't immediately find. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.